Stressing over your budget? The city of Wichita feels your pain. I'm Tom Schein, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCowan Gordon Construction, Fidelity Bank, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Coming up, one man's long relationship with the grinding march towards civil rights.
The marching and the protest is right on time because people are waking up to what's been going on.
But first,
we were in good financial condition. We're starting to prepare the budget for 2021, and then COVID-19 hit.
That's Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. Part of his job is to submit an annual budget to the city council. And as you can imagine, this year is a little different than most. Wichita is facing an unprecedented budget crisis because of the COVID-19 pandemic. An $11 million gap in 2020, a $17 million gap in 2021, and potentially even more in 2022. Layton spoke with KMEW's Natty Afoe about the budget process. You can read their conversation at KMEW.org. And she joins us now to talk about some of the key takeaways from that discussion.
Hi, Tom.
So catch us up. What's the city budget situation look like?
So like you said, they are millions of dollars behind in this budget year and could be for the next few years. And so what Layton and the city council are doing right now is looking at ways to trim the budget and cut back on services as opposed to increasing taxes.
This is not the right time to be doing that in this community when we have the significant unemployment that we do. We have businesses that are fighting just to keep their doors open. The last thing they need is additional burden from us.
The city's had a few budget retreats already just to talk about the process now. They just hosted a social media town hall where residents could weigh in on what kind of services they really could forego for now.
Have they made any decisions so far?
Layton said they've already taken some tactical moves. They implemented a hiring freeze right away to save a few $100,000. They've dipped into their rainy day fund that they had set aside for the next recession, which they didn't expect to see so soon. On Wednesday, the city announced officially that pools and splash pads are more likely than not just not going to open this year. And that's partly because of finances, partly because of COVID-19, some of the concerns about that spreading. There are going to be some cuts to forestry. Layton said the city's going to look a little bit shaggy. They're also looking at the library system. One of the questions in the social media town hall was whether people wanted to see new materials in the libraries or whether they wanted the city to maintain library hours. So right now, they just can't have both.
So some of these early decisions that the city's made, are these going to be temporary changes or could they become permanent down the road?
It's a little bit of both. Layton said splash pads and pools will come back, but there are some changes being made to like how Century 2's operated, how the animal shelters operated that could be permanent. Layton said it'll just be a wait and see kind of thing, whether those will come back as city services.
Talk about some of the long-term projects the city's involved in. I'm thinking mostly, obviously, about the Riverfront Legacy Master Plan. How does the budget impact play into that?
That process really came to a halt at the beginning of the year with COVID-19 pandemic. And interestingly, Layton said that the pause is a chance for the city to just completely rethink that development.
We need to start looking at things more through an equity lens. So when we talk about the redevelopment of the riverfront, is there an expense that comes with that where we're actually spending money in one area and neglecting other areas of the community?
And Layton said that's just his opinion. He hasn't talked to the city council about it. But what's happening now with the budget could really mean a totally different approach to city development in the future.
Natty, appreciate your insight.
Thank you.
In his 87 years in Wichita, Marvin Stone Jr. has witnessed the endless struggle for civil rights, both personally and as a former special investigator for the Kansas Commission on Civil Rights. For this month's In the Mix, Stone talks about the recent killing of George Floyd, his early experience with police, and dealing with racism.
I can't breathe! I can't breathe! I can't breathe!
Black Lives Matter! I can't breathe! He can't breathe! We can't breathe! You're killing us, we're dying!
George Floyd, the only difference in George's incident is that you could see it. Black people have been saying these things for years, that this happened to me, this happened to me, and everybody just blew it off. But now God has allowed technology to come to the forefront, and you can actually see it. Now everybody's starting to believe it.
Racism everywhere, every single day. People still ignoring no matter what we say. From the dark I'm sitting to marching with Martin. We fighting for the end of America's first sin.
The incident I remember is when I was 8 or 9 years old, going to the grocery store, and outside the grocery store there were two policemen sitting in the car. One policeman harassing me, saying, come over here, and what have you had in your pocket? And I'd refused, and I told him it wasn't none of his business, and went on my way into the store, and the other white police officer who was there said, leave him alone. But those kinds of things make impressions on you. And that was my introduction into relationship with law enforcement. I graduated in 1951 from East High. At East High, we had one day to swim in the swimming pool, one day a week. After using the swimming pool, they drained it. We didn't understand it, and we really didn't take that much time to dwell on that, but it was a hurtful thing. We had black police officers who could not arrest white people, even down around in our neighborhood. If they caught a white person who was acting crazy, they had to call down and have a white police officer come and get that person. Now, they could arrest us, but that was not going to happen with a black police officer handcuffing a white person. We need the elders to speak to these young people about what has happened and how you made your way through it. The marching and the protest is right on time because people are waking up to what's been going on. We just need equity. We're gonna keep rising.
In the Mix is produced by Carla Eccles. She brings you thoughtful stories about race and culture every month. To read more of her conversation with Marvin Stone Jr., go to KMEW.org. One last thing. As if taking your driving test isn't already the most stress-inducing experience for teenagers, now the examiner will be wearing a mask, gloves, and perhaps other protective equipment inside the car. And the driver, already sweating excessively, will be required to wear a mask. The Kansas Department of Revenue released its new rules this week. So now you'll have to concern yourself with public safety protocols while still properly executing a reverse two-point turnabout. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Today's show was produced by Stephen Basaha, Nadia Foe, and Lou Ann Stevens. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW NPR for Wichita.